As I mentioned this morning, when I stand before a congregation and try to preach or try to teach the Word of God, I'm nervous, always. Because as I said, I'm going to be held accountable for what I say. There are some times I can be nervous and be comfortable. And I feel that tonight. But then there's sometimes you're nervous and you're not comfortable. So, but yes, I'm ready. I'm ready. Nervous, yes. Comfortable, yes. But I'm ready. And so I thank the Lord for that. We mentioned this morning that we were going to be preaching on different subjects concerning God. I love to preach about my Heavenly Father. I love to. And what I bring, these four messages, if the Lord continues to lead in this direction, I hope will be a blessing to you, as we mentioned earlier today. Because that's what I want to be. I want to be a blessing to you. I want to be a challenge to you in some ways. I want us to help all of us to be drawn closer to Him, to be more faithful to Him. Because I know people that were saved 30 to 40 years ago. And spiritually, they're the same place today that they was back then. That bothers me. I admit I don't know everything by any means. I don't know anything. You other preachers know as much or well know more than what I do. I feel that in my heart. But here's the thing. We all should be growing. Amen. In grace and nurture and admonition of the Lord. That should never stop. As long as I'm breathing, that should never stop in my life. And I'm afraid, I must confess, I wonder about some preachers that I know if they have come to that place in their life where they think they don't have to learn anymore. They know it all. May God help them to see that's not so, because they don't know it all. And tonight is probably one of the biggest things that I'm going to preach on tonight that they probably don't know about, and that's love. That's love. And if we would go back to the church at Ephesus in Revelation, the first church the Bible talks about there in chapter 2, in Revelation, that church was doing great things from what people could see. But yet they had one problem that the Bible brings out, didn't they? And that was the greatest of all. They'd lost their first love. And that's the love for their Heavenly Father. And none of us is perfect. We understand that. We're all sinners in the sight of God. We're saved sinners. Most of us are, I hope, anyway. We're still sinners. But we've got a Heavenly Father that knows that. And He knows if we're trying to strive in our lives to serve Him, or whether we're just going down the road, you know, just living our lives. I hope we're all trying to serve Him in our lives. Tonight I want to speak about the love of God. 1 John, if you will, chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4. The Bible says in chapter 4, verse 7, I want to come back in a little bit and read the whole chapter of 1 John chapter 4, but as an opening scripture, I want to turn to verse number 7, and I want to read it. And the Bible says, Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Let's pray. Father, we do bow in Thy presence tonight. We thank You, Lord, for Your blessings upon us. Thank You for the message we heard from Brother Paul today. Thank You for one we heard from Brother Billy and from what we heard from Brother Jim last night. And Lord, we just ask Your blessings, Lord, upon these messages and the ones that's been preached previously that I didn't have the opportunity to hear, but I pray your blessings upon them as well. And Lord, I pray your blessings upon these tonight that are here that are saved, that you'll help us to realize how we should love one another, how we should love you, and Lord, how we should love the lost in a dying world. And Father, I pray that you'll help us in those situations. And Father, I pray tonight that you'll just give me the words to say that I need, and just give me the strength to preach in boldness and convictions, and just hide me behind the cross. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will work in me, and that he'll move my lips and move my tongue, and that I'll say the things that I need to say for thy honor and for thy glory. That Christ be lifted up and glorified above all. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Verse number 7, again, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God." Tonight, our society, in most of our churches anyway, and in the majority of our churches by far, will teach that God is a God of love. But yet they don't teach the whole counsel of God that goes along with that. And they don't teach that God is also a chastiser for those that he loves. He chastens us. He has to whip us sometimes. And those of us that are parents, I'm sure that probably has done a little chastening ourselves. Amen? And we might even have been and probably were without any, at least in my case, and as we were growing up and at home and under our mom and dad, we're probably chastened a lot more than we thought we deserved. Amen? But then at the same time, we probably didn't get as many chastening rods as we needed. It all works out, right? We always think that we deserve more than we get. As far as the business end and the salaries and so forth and like that. But then when we was at home, we probably thought more than we got more than we actually deserved. I must confess, if my daddy, and he may have, but if my daddy knew some of the silly things that I'd done when I was growing up, he'd have loved me a lot more than I ever thought he did. Because he'd have wore me out, you see. But as we brought the message this morning about God's grace, he is gracious, he is merciful. He does show compassion, and I'm so thankful for that, aren't you? I'm thankful that even my brothers and sisters, as you folks listen to me as I stand before you and attempt to preach the Word of God, you're so gracious in trying to listen and trying to stay awake in some cases and hear what this fellow has to say. You know, I was thinking there down in the basement there a while ago, we've got four different preachers today. Not today. Brother Jim didn't preach today. But we've got four different preachers that are preaching in the Bible Institute this week. And I got to thinking, Brother Wayne, out of those four, I'm the oldest. I used to look back when I was several years younger and look at the older fellas that were preaching and I said, man, I'm the pup. Can't say that no more. And you're just a couple years older than I am. But here's the thing. Even though I'm growing older and better looking as I get older, I know, you don't have to, I'm modest, okay? But as I'm growing older and hopefully and prayerfully growing wiser in the Lord, I am changing. But I want to ask you a question. Has God changed? No, He's not changed one iota, is He? The Bible says He's the same yesterday, today, forever. He works in our lives, just as Brother Wayne was talking about in the 1600. The writers of the songs that Brother Jim and Sister Clarissa and Brother Billy sang earlier. And even in the hymn books that we use tonight and the ones that we have in our church. God is still the same God. He still is the one that is greatly to be praised and honored and glorified in our church services and in our lives today. Amen. He deserves that. He deserves that. And so tonight, with God's grace, I want to bring a message on the love of God. If you turn over to the book of Psalms, chapter 103, We mentioned this morning, and I want to relate to it just for a second. It shows you how much love that God has for us as saved people. Psalms 103 and verse number 12. Let's back up to verse number 10. Psalms 103, verse number 10 says, He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. We ought to be glad of that. Amen. We ought to be glad of that, because as I mentioned this morning again, I think if God gave me what I deserved, I wouldn't be standing behind here. The only place I would be tonight is in the pits of hell. Because I'd be lost, I'd be condemned, I would be there, and I would be in torment for eternity. And tonight again, if you're not saved, you listen to these words. Because that's exactly where you're going to be if you don't accept the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. That's the only place. That's the only place that you look forward to go, or have to look forward to go to, is to the pits of hell. I don't mean to be mean. Don't mean to be ornery, but I want to be factual with you. I want you to know what's what, that you won't be surprised if you get there. So tonight, if you're not saved, hell is what you have to look forward to. That's the only place. But you know, through the love of God, you can remedy that problem. By your personal faith and trust in Him as your personal Savior, whether you're young, whether you're old, doesn't make any difference. You've got a heaven to gain and the hell to shun by faith in Him. Look what happened to my sins when I accepted Christ Jesus as my Savior. Verse number 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, and so great is His mercy toward them that fear Him. Notice verse number 12. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Like the Father pitieth His children, and so the Lord pitieth them that fear Him. For He knoweth our fame, and He remembereth that we are dust. God says, the Bible says, the book that God inspired tells us in verse number 12 that our sins are moved as far as the east is from the west. From us. Those that have been saved. Those that have repented of their sins and put their faith and trust in Christ Jesus as their Savior. Do you understand what it's saying? Do you understand where your sins are at tonight as a believer? They're cast as far as the east is from the west. But if you're not saved, you still have them. You're still carrying them. May God help you tonight to see what you need to do as far as being saved. My prayer for you right now is to accept Christ Jesus as your personal Savior. If you've done that, hold up your hand, shout, or do something. Brother Wayne will stop services, and we'll have a blessing. We'll have a shout in that. Well, I don't know about that, but we'll get excited, I'm sure. I've seen that here. I've seen it when people got saved. Listen to me. Tonight, today, now is the accepted time. You may not have tomorrow. Oh, Brother Rick, I'm young. I'm going to live to be 65. No guarantee. What Brother Kevin mentioned about the young lady that has leukemia, 5 or 6 years old. Young lady over in our area. Some of you, we sent out an email back a couple weeks ago about, she was 13. She had appendicitis. They took her appendix out. That appendix had cancer. I heard about that. Her stepdaddy told me, her adopted dad told me that. And I got home, and I tell you what, I know that young lady. She is so precious. She's so precious. I love her. I love her. But yet, she was a sinner. She got sick. She had problems. I don't know whether she's saved or not. But I did this. I got home, and I sent out an email to many of you even here tonight. And many of you sent messages back, emails back, and said, we'll put her on our prayer list. And you know, the next week she went to Riley's in Indianapolis, and some tests were run, and her, another, not her, grandmother, but an older friend of hers that she had in school. She's a teacher. Told me at school. She said, "Anna's free. She's free of cancer. She's free. There's no signs of cancer there." You think prayers work? Yes! Yes! Now it brings me to another point. How serious is God's people praying for those tonight that are right here that are not saved? How serious are we? Not you, we. About people being saved. Do we carry them on our heart? Do we carry people's burdens of their salvation upon our hearts and our mind? Does it burden us down sometimes so much that we just can't hardly get no sleep at all? Not about our salvation, but about those that we dearly and truly love. Huh? It may be grandchildren, it may be children, it may be moms and dads, it may be brothers and sisters. It's hard telling who it is. But God loved us. God saved us. Why can't we pray for those that are lost? And don't just mediocre, God save such. I mean, get business, get serious that God would save them. That shows forth. God cast our sins as far as the east is from the west. God can do the same thing with those that we love. You understand what I'm saying? So many times in our lives that we just hum-haw, we just haphazardly, just mediocrely pray for situations. You know what Jesus did when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane before He went to the cross? The Bible says that He was so burdened with the prayers that He was praying to His Heavenly Father. The Bible says that He sweat as of great drops of blood. He was so concerned. He was so burdened down. And my question to us is tonight, how burdened down are we? How serious are we when we pray to our Heavenly Father? Do we ever shed in our hearts tears? Do we ever shed publicly tears? Or we just always, "I'm a man. I'm not supposed to cry. If I couldn't cry, I'd be in a lot of trouble." You know that. Many of you have heard me preach before. You've heard me talk. You know who I am. But folks, listen to me. God's still a God of love. And God can still save those people that we care for and we pray for. I believe that with all my heart. Don't you? And I do believe in election. And I do believe in predestination. And I do believe in the doctrines of grace. But I also believe in the responsibility of man. And it is our responsibility to go out into the highways and to the hedges and compel them to come unto Christ. Amen? That's what His Scripture tells us. He gave the commission to the church. And I don't know how many different churches we have represented here tonight. But God has given a commission to the church to go forward. Go out those doors. Go out into the world. And I'm completely off my message. But to go and to preach the gospel. God loved us. God loved us. And we in our lives ought to love one another. And that's where our next verse comes from. Passage 133. Psalms 133. Verse number 1. Psalms 133, verse number 1. The Bible says, "Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for the brethren to dwell together in unity." How many times have you talked to people or other brothers and sisters in the Lord and they tell us, they say, "Man, I can't fellowship with that person." We said, "Well, why can't you fellowship?" And, "Well, they don't agree exactly like I do." They may use a bus ministry, or they may have a junior church, or they may believe in grape juice, or They may have hard telling what. You know, hard telling what. They may support a mission board. But we can't have fellowship with those people because of that. Show me that in the Bible. Show me that in the Bible. I can understand maybe if they practice open communion. I can understand maybe if they practice alien baptism, accept an alien baptism. You see, things of that nature. But folks, listen. When they preach, we can fellowship with people of other denominations individually if they preach the same gospel that you and I preach. We can love those people. We can pray that God will use the message as it goes forth. God loved them. God saved them, didn't He? They're saved just like you and I are. Why can't we fellowship with them individually, you see? Why, if we're standing on a street corner and they're standing there with us and somebody comes up and we have the opportunity to witness to them and both of us witness to that individual and that individual is saved. What's wrong with that? You know what has happened, don't you? That person has been brought into God's family, into God's kingdom. And what church they'll go to, that I have no clue about. But if they're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, they're saved just as much as me or that person from another denomination. Maybe I'm meddling, I don't know. But folks, that's my convictions. And by God's grace, I hold those convictions until Jesus comes. Because I'd rather have a person lost than be a member of a Methodist church or a Presbyterian church or some other denomination than be a member of a Baptist church and lost and split the gates of hell right open. Amen? If you don't agree with that, you're selfish. Go back to the time when God saved you. Go back to the time it shows you how... Just think about how He loved you and what He'd done and maybe the people that was involved in witnessing to you and so forth. And just as I spoke this morning, I was saved in a Christian denominational church. I was preached the gospel by an old-time Methodist preacher 10 years earlier. But the Lord saved me. But the Lord called me out of that. And sent me to Salem Missionary Baptist Church where I got the truth. Where I got the truth of the gospel. I was already saved, but I understood more about the gospel then than I did at the Christian church. I understood the truth of the church when Brother Clark was there and Brother Clark preached on the scriptural baptism one night. And I talked to him and Brother Turner after services about that. And the next night I came forward to become a candidate for baptism at Salem Missionary Baptist Church. You know what? I never went back to that Christian church for church services. Yeah. I've been there at a funeral a time or two. Been there at the senior, whatever they call that, at the last of the school year because I was a senior. So we had it at that church because it had the biggest auditorium. So I went back there. But as far as the church service, I never went back to that church. But I know a lot of people there that are saved. I know people at school where I work that are saved. They're members of Christian churches. But they're saved just as much as I am. Most of my family are Methodists. But they're saved just as much as I am. You know why? Because of God's love. He came down and touched their soul. Touched their spirit. And said, you need to repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Christ Jesus. And they're saved, just like me. Isn't it great? Isn't it great? They'll be in heaven just like I am. Many of you have got family members that are not members of Baptist churches, I'm sure. And probably are saved. But they'll be in heaven just like you are. Isn't it great? I think it's so wonderful. I think it's so wonderful. You know, the psalm of Brother Paul, well, that Mandy sang a while ago. 1 Peter, if you will, chapter 5. 1 Peter, chapter 5. We've got cares, don't we? We've got cares. But you know, even in our cares, even in our concerns, even our burdens, in the physical ways of life, the Bible gives us an answer. First Peter. If I said Timothy, I want to go to Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6, says here, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6, I hear some pages turning, so 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 6, humble yourselves therefore under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you in due time. Now notice what it says in verse 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. What do you think about that verse? You think that's true? Huh? Think it's true? It's in the Bible. Does that make it true? It sure does. Let me ask you a question. If it's in the Bible, why don't we practice it? Lays all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. You know the reason heart attacks come about, some of them? Because of nervousness. You know the reason ulcers come about? Because of nervousness. You know the reason headaches come about? Because of nervousness, and sometimes, not all the time, none of these are all the time. But here's the thing. A lot of our physical ailments, come about because we do not practice, as saved people, practice what this book says. And again, in verse number 7, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. The Bible talks to us about having a peace that passeth understanding. Ephesians chapter 2. A peace that passeth all understanding. Some people are so uptight, so strung, high strung, that they would have no clue about what peace is in their lives. What contentment is in their lives. They've got that spring so tightly wound. They just don't know what to do if it comes unloose, you know. Some of you tonight might be like that. Don't be that way. Relax. Relax. Paul brought an excellent message, didn't he, on who's in charge? Let me ask us a question. Who's in charge in our lives? Is God? He loves us. He cares for us. He said, I wouldn't leave you nor forsake you. I'm always with you. Where's the Holy Spirit at tonight? Where's He at? Point to me. Tell me where the Holy Spirit's at tonight. Right here. In my heart. In my heart. And with the Holy Spirit being there, I can have a peace that passeth all understanding. How you do that, Rick? Because of God's love. Yeah. Because of God's love. I think it's great. Let's go back to 1 John, if you will. We're not too far away. Chapter 4. I'm going to start in verse number 1. I want to read down to the chapter, comment a few things. 1 John chapter 4, verse number 1. Bible says, Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God. Because many false prophets are going out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. And every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. That's pretty plain and simple, isn't it?
Amen.
But a lot of people don't practice it. They'll see something new. And they thought, oh my, I got to do that. We got to add that to our church service. Is it scriptural? That's the key, isn't it, Brother Jim? Is it scriptural? Does the Bible say it's okay? Or are we just doing it because we think it might help our attendance or might boost our offerings? Or that we might be seen of men? Or are we doing it because we feel that's what God wants us to do? That He might be honored and glorified in our services, you see. A lot of churches, they're going with the praise music. And I've listened to some of that praise music and some of the words. And there's some good songs. But what's wrong with the old traditional 400 or 500 year songs that's been written, you see? Nothing at all Nothing at all. We know Bill Gaither. All of us probably heard of Bill Gaither of any age anyway. And he's written some good songs. He's not a Baptist, but he's written some good songs. And Ronnie Henson's written some good songs. And some other people have written some good songs. And I love those songs. They've got a good spiritual, biblical background to those songs. But it seemed like in some of our churches today, if we're not singing praise music, we're not serving God. Can't go with that, folks. I cannot and I will not go with that. God is a God of love. But anyway, let's go farther. Verse number 4. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. I love this. Because greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Do you believe that tonight? Amen. Yeah. Yeah. That's Bible. That's Bible. Greater is in us that is in the world. He conquered the world. He conquered death. He conquered hell. He conquered the grave. And tonight, Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, making intercession for you and I. God loved us. God give us a risen Savior. God give us a Savior that defeated the pits of hell. And is sitting at the right hand of God, making that intercession for you and I. Wonderful, isn't it? It's wonderful. Verse number 5, it says, For they are of the world, and therefore speak they of the world, and the world heareth them. We are of God. He that knoweth God heareth us. He that is not of God heareth us not. And hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. I hope and pray tonight that we do. Beloved, let us love one another. And this is what we read to start with, wasn't it? For love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God. And knoweth God. And he that loveth not, knoweth not God, for God is love. That's kind of an interesting verse, isn't it? Verse number 9. And this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. That's how we have everlasting life, is through what Jesus Christ has done for us on the cross of Calvary. Again, if you're sitting there not saved, you need to hear what these verses of Scripture say. Not Rick Cat, but hear the verses of Scripture. Because that's what's going to save you. Is believing what they say. Verse 10. Herein is love. I love this. Oh my, I love this. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. That's good. That's good. I won't go on. That explains itself. No man has seen God. Verse 12. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us. Hereby know we that we dwell in Him, and He in us, because He hath given us of His Spirit. And we have seen and do testify that the Father sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and He in God. And we have known and believed the love of God, the love that God hath given to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. And herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. I love verse number 18. There is no fear in love. There is no fear in love. Isn't that good? The perfect love casteth out fear. We talked about the heart attacks. We talked about the ulcers. We talked about the headaches and all this other stuff. If we had that perfect love, the Bible says it casteth out fear. You know what my thinking of the perfect love is? And there may be more to it than that. But the perfect love to me is taking all of our cares and burdens that we have and laying them at the feet of Jesus and turning around and walking off and letting Him take care of it. and say, Lord, there they are. Just deal with them as you see fit and help us to carry on in their lives. Many of us want to tie a string to our foot and drag part of him back with us, don't we, when we leave? Doesn't work, does it? Verse 19, I love it. We love him because he first loved us. And if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? Good point, isn't it? Good point. Last verse. This commandment hath we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. You know what? It doesn't say that we have to agree with them wholeheartedly, does it? Doesn't have to say that we have to agree with them, but very little. Basically, the only thing that we have to agree with them on is one thing. That they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. To be a brother in Christ. You see where I'm coming from with that, right? If they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the only Savior, if they don't believe that Jesus Christ is the way to heaven, they believe some other way or add something to that, then they're not saved. My thinking. And if you disagree with me, talk to me. Help me to understand that. But my Bible tells me in Acts 4:12, for there's no other way given among men whereby we must be saved. That's the only way of salvation. So we can agree with that. We can love our brothers and sisters if that's the only thing that we agree on. We can love them. Pray for them. Some of our brothers that I know probably would not agree with that. And you may not agree with that. And if they don't, that's fine. But that's my thinking. And until I'm so different, that's how I'm going to think. And I don't mean to say that in a mean or non-ordinary way. I'm just telling you, that's my thinking from what I see in the Scripture. But the greatest thing of all is verse number 10. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be a propitiation for our sins. Tonight as I close, I want to ask you again, where do you stand before the Lord as far as your salvation? Are you saved? Have you been blood bought? Are you a child of the King? When you die, are you going to glory? Or are you going to the pits of hell? Only you know that, and the Lord knows that. Tonight I point you to Him. Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. Nothing added to, nothing taken away. Some of you may have been in church service from day one that you was born. That doesn't make you any more saved than anybody else. You're saved by one way. Faith in Christ Jesus. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Look to Him tonight. Look to Him tonight and accept Him right where you're at. God will bless. It's just like this water. This is a physical water. And I could take a drink of it. But after a while, I'd probably be thirsty again. Amen? But you know, the Bible says that if I take a drink of the living water, I'll never thirst again. You like that? I like it. I like it. By God's grace, by the Holy Spirit, and by His working, I have tasted of that living water. And so I'm getting goosebumps just talking about it, folks. We call them chigger bumps down in Beattyville, Billy. Woo! They're there. They're still there. They won't go away. But I've tasted that living water. And it's not going away. You know what? It never will. It never will. By God's grace tonight, see yourself as a lost sinner. Repent of your sin. Put your faith and trust in Him as your personal Savior. I'll shout whether nobody else does or not. May God help us as we live our lives, save people, that we'll be a testimony for those around us. Amen.